The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Norma Foley is the Minister for Education and she is with me now. So Minister, the school return just around the corner. Actually this week for some students, secondary school students and those in junior cycle entitled now to partake in the free school book scheme. So what exactly is included for them?
Yeah, that's right, Kieran. I suppose the free school book scheme for post-primary for the first, second and third year students is in addition to what we have provided last year at primary school. So collectively, that's almost 800,000 young people who will be availing of free school books. So that's school books, you know, their textbooks, but it also includes resources like, you know, exam papers, calculators or whatever resources like that might be required by the student. And the idea really is that all students have an opportunity in terms of equality of access and equality of opportunity when it comes to the availability of the textbooks and the supports or resources that they might require to complete their studies in school.
So, you know, if people are doing tech drawing or what have you and they need T-squares and all that, they would usually go down and buy. They're included along with calculators?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. The resources for the, I suppose, the study of whatever course they happen to be doing or whatever curriculum they're following.
And is the plan then to expand it beyond Junior Cert to Leaving Cert?
Well, we've taken an incremental step. I've been very clear, really, since I've become Minister for Education, this was a huge priority for me. Really pleased that we delivered at primary, that we took it now to the first 3 years of post-primary. And I've never made a secret that it is my ambition to complete the cycle for the senior students as well. Now, I'm very conscious that will be a matter for the budget. There will be many competing demands at budget time, but it is certainly a priority of mine. And I would be hopeful that we will be in a position to deliver that at budget on the October time. But again, look, I can't say that for 100% certainty until we've looked at all other competing demands, I suppose, in education and also my engagements with the various ministers required.
What did you learn about the rollout of the scheme at primary school level that kind of informed how it's working for junior cycle?
Absolutely. And in the first instance, I want to express a huge debt of gratitude to the schools, to the staff in the schools who have made this possible, both at primary and now for the first 3 years of post-primary. Now, the department did make additional resources depending on the size of the school, you know, whether it was 10 or 13 or 16 additional days or whatever available to them. But that's, you know, that's nothing compared to the generosity and goodwill that staff have shown on the ground to make it work. We did do a review of the implementation at primary. And again, it informed us that, you know, that additional resource going into the school was really, really important. You know, having staff and freeing staff up to be able to deliver and to have everything in place at the, you know, at the right time. Equally so, I think it pointed up to us the enormous value of the scheme and the almost unanimous endorsement by parents in particular of the importance of the scheme to them. You know, it is an incredible uplift. I meet parents all the time when I visit the schools and obviously I meet the school staff. But even when I'm out and about, you know, the Rosa Tralee has just concluded at home and we had people from all over the country visiting. And again, the topic of conversation with people from all over the country with me was their appreciation that it's now been, these free books have been extended to post-primary as well. You know, it takes that burden, if you like, or removes that burden, really, for parents as they're returning their children and young people to school.
You know, despite that welcome, and it should be acknowledged, you know, broad welcome from lots of parents. So some school book providers in towns around the country feel maybe they've lost out, that one particular provider, as it were, say in a town like Killarney or Tralee or Kilkenny, getting all of the business. What do you say to that concern?
Well, look, I think the department was very clear in the first instance when we were going about implementing this that we would strongly engage with everybody concerned. So there was consultation and indeed we've engaged with, you know, Booksellers Ireland, book publishers, and really on the strength of that, we've also said to schools where you have existing relationships with the local bookstore, look, I know the value of that relationship with the local bookstore, you have the autonomy to continue that. Obviously, you know, there's an e-tender process for very, very, very big, schools that would have a considerable amount of money going through their hands. That's the process. But notwithstanding that, to support, bookstores to involve themselves in that type of process, the book publishers have engaged in a training process with their members, and I think they represent something like 95% of that cohort. Equally so, the department has provided a tender template, you know, to the schools to make that easier again for schools' engagement with local providers. So look, we do want to see you know, existing relationships that are working really, really well in local communities. We want to see that continue. Schools do have the autonomy to do that. And in terms of the bigger, I suppose, cohort of, you know, where there's very large amounts of money, we are doing all that we can that, we'll say, the local bookstores can be supported through, say, the book publishers to go on e-tender. And again, just to say those, that very large amount of money that requires an e-tender, you know, we've more than 670 schools, but just over maybe 100, 140 of them would have to engage in the e-tender scheme.
Despite the reduction then in back-to-school costs for parents and the foot of schemes like this and, you know, the continual cost as well of providing food where the free school meals programme has been rolled out, there's still kind of a financial burden at this time of year in lots of households. And one thing that we talk about and other shows talk about, kind of talk about perennially at this time of year, are schools that insist still on the crested uniforms or the crested tracksuits, school tracksuits, as opposed to kind of the generic tracksuit or uniform that you simply iron the crest on. Now, I know that's down to kind of individual schools, and a lot of them are kind of voluntary organisations or however you want to describe them. And, you know, it's their decision, not yours. But I mean, what's your advice to those schools?
Well, look, you're right. We are doing all that we can to be proactive in the space, really, of supporting parents. And, you know, we're speaking today about the, you know, the free school books and resources. Obviously, you've referenced as well the rollout of, you know, the hot school meals and all of that. And we do have a circular that is issued to schools around uniforms. We're asking schools to consider, you know, really the expense for parents, that the uniform, you know, it would be quite generic uniform, that it could be picked up anywhere, and to be cost conscious, really, for parents. And look, I want to say that, you know, to the very best of their ability, the vast majority of schools are very cognizant of that. And, you know, they're very appreciative of the role that is played by parents as well. You know, we've very proactive, you know, parents associations in schools as well. So, you know, parents are very much, you know, valued and valuable partners in the education process. But really, my advice is, as per the circular, that, you know, schools really should do all that they can to reduce those costs around uniform and, you know, make it as easy and accessible as possible. And, you know, as we say, the generic type of uniform and all of that, just make it easy, make it accessible, make it affordable.
We spoke earlier in the show to people from St. Killian Special School in Cork. So it's the biggest special school in Munster. You'll be aware of it. And it's not included in this special school pilot that the department has been running to provide the delivery of in-school therapy supports to children. And they're also critical of, just in general, the level of in-school therapy support provided to children, and promises maybe made to them in the past. They feel that they would get some form of therapy in the school. What do you say to those parents and those teachers in that school?
Well, again, just to say that's a scheme that has been run out by the Department of Children under Minister O'Gorman and Minister Rabbit, and because that's coming via the HSE. And look, the availability of in-school therapies are hugely, hugely important. Look, we know that. And I would welcome any resource that goes into a school from that point of view. And so therefore, I welcome this pilot. I think it's a step forward. It's an improvement on the fact that, you know, we need our children to have accessibility, you know, to these therapies. My understanding, and I know that this is a pilot, that six schools are beginning the pilot, four in Cork and two in Dublin. 10 more schools are to be added to the pilot. So it's an ongoing pilot where schools will be added to over time. I think it is a positive step forward. I think it can only benefit our students that they would have an availability of these therapies in school. And I really hope that the HSE and the Department of Children will be in a position to you know, to keep advancing and advancing it to get more and more schools into the process.
Another concern I know lots of parents listening to this will have, and you'll be well aware of it, you and I have spoken about it before, it's mobile phones and, you know, the access that children have to harmful content through those phones. And you and I have had that conversation about how difficult it is to maybe kind of grapple with that. I mean, have plans progressed within your department in that regard, in terms of limiting access in school hours, for example?
Yeah, well, we have done a lot of work in this space. You know, we have, you know, a significant program being run out now in our primary schools where we're encouraging, you know, parents to become involved, to keep childhood smartphone free, if you like, and I really want to acknowledge the work that parents are doing in that regard with the support of schools. Equally so, you know, in our schools, we have the work of WebWise, who are working with our students around, you know, how to be safe online and to protect themselves and utilise, you know, I suppose, the online forum as well. But I've met, also you'd be aware, with, you know, mobile phone providers, I've met with the social media platforms. And I think we've come to a point now, you know, more and more we're seeing issues around, you know, mobile phones in the hands of young people. So I'm keen to introduce a ban on the use of mobile phones in our schools at post-primary level. I think all of the evidence, you know, is pointing to the need to do this. Last year, the United Nations recommended this ban on smartphones, but they've also shown, and indeed other studies have shown, that where the mobile phones are not in use throughout the day in school, it improves learning opportunities, it tackles classroom disruption, if you like, and obviously the whole issue of cyberbullying is you know, such an important one as well, that we, you know, we need to be proactive in the space. So really, schools, I want to acknowledge, are doing a great body of work in this area, and they all would have policies around acceptable use of the mobile phones. But I think we need to create a very clear culture across all of our schools, particularly because the issue seems to be most at post-primary, where mobile phone usage is not acceptable during school hours. And, you know, we will be working with schools to support them in that regard, that really we would not have mobile phones in use during school hours, that there would be a ban on their use during the school day.
You mentioned earlier the upcoming budget, and you hope maybe after that or in that budget to be in a position to announce the expansion of the free school book scheme. After that, I know you're going to tell me there's no plans for a general election, but I don't think anybody listening would quite believe it. So I'm not even going to ask you the question. Instead, I'm going to ask how you'd feel about competing for votes with Dathi O'Shea down in Kerry.
Oh, wow. Well, Dathi has done a fantastic job. He's synonymous with Kerry. He did a fantastic job, as I referenced earlier, with the Rose of Tralee, along with Catherine. They were a great team altogether. Dathi is much loved in the kingdom, and if Dathi chooses to turn his attention to the political world, well, then I would have no issue with that at all. You know,
he's living up in Galway, though. Would you not tell him to go for Eamon O'Queeve's old seat?
Well, you never know. That's a conversation I'll probably have to have with Dathi, but he's probably very happy in the field that he's in at the minute, and he's doing an excellent job in it. But if he wants to cross over into the political field, I'm sure he'll be very welcome as well. He's a fine fellow and a great ambassador for the kingdom.
Minister for Education, Norma Foley. Minister, thanks a million for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.